Some of them are interested in music, art, film, things like this, English, psychology, but they feel like they can't do that. So what they do is a number of things. They either suffer and just make it through, and then they become a doctor, which is good. Or some of them try to double major or triple major. You know, we have some triple majors. The reason why they do this is because they want to say, I want to honor mom and dad because they want me to be an engineer. But I also know that Jesus has made me somebody who's very excited about music. So I'm going to do both. And that becomes very difficult for students. Now, I actually think that having two majors is better than one, because then you have many more opportunities. But not all students can handle the amount of work, and it becomes very difficult for them. So academic success is very important to us in InterVarsity. We try to help students think about what is going to help you succeed. What are the ways that you need to study? But the thing that we cannot fix is their motivation. We can't change it. We can say, try harder. You need to think about your future. You need to think about your kids. It doesn't help. I've tried it many, many times. Now, number two in academic success. Number one is, my major. Number two is financial stress. Many students feel very, very guilty that parents are paying for college. So, you know, they have to finish in 4 years. Some of them feel the stress to finish in 3 years because college is so expensive. It's very expensive, and it keeps continuing to increase expensive. But the guilt that they feel says, if I fail and I take longer, then I fail my parents. So earlier I asked the question, where does this pressure come from? They say it comes from myself. Well, it's because they feel like if they fail you. And they don't want to spend more of your money. They don't want to dishonor you. They care very much. They're very worried. So that's one of the issues to think about, and we'll talk later about how to deal with some of these things. Number four is extracurricular involvement, so activities outside of studies. The number one thing that I hear students say is, my parents told me not to do too many outside activities, right? My job is to study. That's students say that all the time. My job is to study. My job is to study. That is true. My job is to study. Because why? You are a student, so you should study. But what does that mean? Extracurricular activities or outside activities, they make students happy. If all they were to do was study, some of them do that. They don't have many friends. They become very sad. And, you know, that's called suffering. And suffering is okay sometimes. But for some of them, the cost is so high that if they just did something outside of studying sometimes, they would actually perform better. Some of the studies that we're seeing say that students who are involved in at least one extracurricular activity perform better academically. Better. Their GPA is higher. So that's something to think about as you talk to your children. Why are you doing this extracurricular activity? What is it valuable for? Is it serving God? Things like this. Number five, and this is very important to me, depression and suicide. So mental health, my feelings. All of my students say that they don't talk about their feelings with mom and dad. So if you were to ask your children, how are you doing in school? Or how is your life at school? What do your students say? Okay, fine, good, right? Now, when I talk to your children, I say, how are you doing in school? How is your life? And how are things going? Bad. And I say, well, I always ask this, and I'm being very honest. What did you tell your parents? And they say, oh, I told them that everything's fine. Why did you tell them that? Because I don't want them to worry. Because they think that everything will be fine eventually when they graduate. But for the meantime, they're prepared to suffer. So they don't want you to think that anything's wrong. Now, some of you may have experienced, all of a sudden your student comes to you and says, I failed this class. or I'm doing very poorly, or I want to switch majors. And you may wonder, where does this come from? You said everything was fine. Now, here's the major issue. Many students don't want to include their parents on major decisions. And this is wrong. This is wrong for the students, because parents should be involved in every major decision for the children, including what they major in, who they date, you know, things like this. You should be involved. I firmly believe that, especially now that I'm a father. But I also learned that the hard way. There are many times that I didn't listen to my parents, and I made very major decisions, and I didn't ask my parents what to do, and it disrespected them. So when I talk to my students, I say, you must include your parents in these major decisions, or you disrespect them. What they come back to me and say is, this is too hard. I don't know how. And they all say this, I know what my parents will say. I know what my parents will say. Well, if they know what you will say, this will give you a hint to what I'm going to say later. Maybe you ought to surprise them about what you will say. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But the bottom line is, if they don't tell you how academics is going, then they're not going to tell you whether they're feeling sad or depressed or they have a plan to hurt themselves. And I lost a friend 2 weeks ago. He took his own life. And it was terrible for all of us. And that's why, you know, when this opportunity came, you know, this opportunity came months ago, but after my friend Andy passed away, I knew that I just had to talk to you about this because it's so important. It's so important that your kids know that you love them and that they know that you're behind them. So that's number five. But number six is the most important of all. And here's where I feel the most trouble. Nothing is more important than your students knowing Jesus. And this is where I find the most problems. Now, I've been with 200 students. Only a very small number of them can actually tell me how the gospel applies to their daily life. Many of them, majority of them, grow up in the church, but only a few of them can say why the gospel matters. They can tell me what the gospel is. They can say, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I have to put my trust and faith in him, and then I'll be saved. They can say this to me, but then they say, in order to be saved, you must believe these things. And that's true, but that's only partly true. Randy this morning was talking about you have to also have a transformed lifestyle. I don't even tell my students that because they want to focus on behaviors. They want to know, what do I do in order to look like a Christian? What they can't do, I'll give you an example. If I ask a student how their academic studies are a part of God's plan to make them more like Jesus. So our goal is to become more like Jesus. Everything we do is supposed to lead us to be more like Jesus, right? I ask a student, how do your studies do that for you? No idea. They have no idea. And then I ask them, how often do you talk about Jesus with your family? And most of them say very, very seldom. So then when I ask them, are you willing to do evangelism? Many of them say no. So their spiritual lives, there's something disconnected. They know all the facts, but when they come to university, they still have trouble living it out. I don't know exactly why that is. My parents are not Christians, so I didn't expect them to live out as Christians. But as I was at university, I realized I had nobody to follow. I had no one's example to follow. And so I just had to make it up by myself. And this was very hard. As Chinese Americans are in the country longer and longer, there are more of us like me and like Irene who are living a very courageous and a very consistent witness to Christ so that young students can say, I have an example to follow. But the desire of my heart is for every child to say, I learned how to follow Jesus from my mom and dad. I want that for you. I want them to be able to say, my mom, my dad taught me how to follow Jesus. Not just who he is, not just what he said, but how to actually live out my life as a Christian. How to view my studies, how to select a spouse, how to choose a job, and how to do evangelism. I want them to be able to say that you taught them that. Right now, I haven't experienced that yet. So this is the most important thing to me, is that when they come to college, they know how God is leading them. The number one question, spiritual question for students, is what is God's plan for my life? What is God's plan for my life? No one knows. And the things that they try to do, I had a student once. He said, I'm going to flip a coin to decide what God wants me to do. This is how confused he was. Now, he's one of a kind. I've never encountered this again. But the students are equally confused. They don't know how to ask God what he wants for them. So, I only have a few very practical suggestions for things that you can do with your children. And then I'm going to open it up for question and answer. The number one thing that I want you to consider, the question that you need to ask yourself is, who needs to become more like whom? Do you need to become more like Americans in order to help your children? Or do your children need to become more like Chinese in order for them to understand your values? That's a very important question to answer for yourself. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is talking about what he does in order to win people to Christ. He says, to the poor, I became as one who was poor. To the weak, I became as one who is weak. I became all things to all men in order that I might win some. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, it's not my children need to become more Chinese. It's actually not I need to become more American. It's both, right? If your children are Christians, they know they need to become more like you so that they can enjoy fellowship and unity and peace with you. They know that. I talk to them. They actually know that already. You also know that in order for them to understand that you love them, maybe sometimes you have to say, I'm proud of you, or give them a hug, things that you may or may not be inclined to do. But we need to move in both directions, right? Both have a responsibility to become more like the other. That's what 1 Corinthians 9 teaches us. Number two, I want to tell you what I tell students to do, so you know what I say to them. I say, number one, you have to prove to mom and dad that you understand what they say. When they say you shouldn't do extracurricular activities, you have to prove that you understand why they say it. You can't just say, oh, okay. You have to show them, I'm going to do it, and I know why. So demonstrate that you understand. Number two, you need to be the son or the daughter that they want you to be. So I tell them, you need to be respectful. If they ask you to do if they expect you to mow the lawn and do the dishes, you need to do that. Why? So that you can honor and respect them. But number three, if you do something or you think that God is leading you somewhere where your parents disagree, if you don't tell them, if you don't tell them that you're doing poorly academically, if you don't tell them that you're struggling emotionally, and if you don't tell them that you want to become a minister, major decisions, if you don't explain those things to them, then you dishonor them. So you must be very open with them. And number four, you must include them in all major decisions. This is what I tell your children. So I actually have some similar things to say to you. Number one, sometimes parents say, this is what you should do. But then there's no explanation why. And students know what they need to do, and they know it's because they're Chinese, and they know it's because they're your son or daughter, but they don't really understand why that's important and whether or not to do it. And number two, they're taught here in America that when they turn 16, they can drive, and so they're now independent. Now, Chinese American students don't believe this. They know that they are not independent until they get married, right? Many Americans know that when they turn 18, then they're supposed to be independent. But many Chinese American students know, maybe I will never be independent. And that's a good thing. My parents, when I go home, they always cook so much for me. I should be cooking for them. They give Emma, my daughter, they give Emma so many things. And that's how I know that they love me and they are still caring for me. And I will always let them do that if they want to. But what I think parents need to learn how to do is to include their children in major decisions. Why? Because they're being taught that when you become independent, you should be able to make major decisions. Now, many of my students, when they graduate, they all tell me, I don't know how to balance my checkbook. I don't know how to open a savings account. I don't know how to buy a house. And I didn't either when I graduated, because my parents were so good at providing for all of those things. But one of the side effects was I felt like because they took care of everything and they didn't include me in the decision, that I had nothing to say to them. So finally, when I tried to do evangelism with my parents, I tried to explain them the gospel. They said, we don't want it. You have nothing to teach us. We are your parents. So Christian parents are different, or should be different. There's a way in which your children, because they have gifts from God, they have something to contribute to the church. Something. Maybe something very small at the beginning, but they want to contribute. They're being taught that they should contribute because they're supposed to be independent. Now, like I said, let me repeat. Sometimes children are wrong, but this is what they're learning. They're learning that they need to be independent, but when they feel like they can't contribute anything to the family, then they feel like they have no value and that they can't say anything to you. Next, try to understand where your children are coming from. You know, one of the easiest explanations to say that you don't want your children to do that is because we're Chinese, we don't do that. My parents use that on me, and it works. So I don't do it when my parents say that. But it doesn't say, I understand why you want to do it. I understand that you want to do it. So I tell your children, you must demonstrate that you understand. And I think the advice is the same for parents. You must demonstrate that you understand why they want to do it and what they want to do. And then when you say no, at least they will think that they are understood. One of the studies that I've been very grateful for is in an audience, when a leader is trying to lead the group, if you're the parent, you're the leader of the family, the majority of people will go with you if you're leading the group, if they understand that you're the leader. They'll say, okay, you are the leader, I will follow you. Another big group will say, I have some questions, I have some concerns, but if you listen to me, I will follow you. So they tell you their concerns, and then maybe 8% they just won't follow you, just because they don't want to. So a big percentage, another big percentage, and then a very small percentage. I'm concerned with this second one. If they have a chance to explain what they want to do and why they want to do it, and then you tell them no, then at least they will know. Well, my parents listened to me, they understood me, and they understood why they had to say no. So this means many, many, many longer conversations. If I ask my students, how often do you talk about major important things in your life with your parents? They say, not very often. Now, what I realize that I'm recommending for parents to do, it's very, very uncomfortable for some of us to have a long conversation about feelings, about things that we know. I mean, because parents are so much wiser than children, and that's true, because parents are so much wiser than children, it seems like children should just listen to our wisdom, and they should. But they also need to be helped to understand the wisdom. So that means that you need a long conversation to explain why this is true. But the worst case scenario, I think, for parents is when children disagree. I've had to say to my mom, and to my dad, I just disagree. Now, it's different because since they're not Christians, I say, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to follow him with my whole life. And they say, you can't do that. And I say, well, I disagree. Now, for Christian parents, it's different, right? You're supposed to raise the child in the teaching and admonition of the Lord. You're the leader. They're supposed to agree with you. You're wiser than them. But sometimes, and you may experience this, in fact, I'm sure all of you have, your children would disagree. Sometimes it's, I want spaghetti instead of pizza, and that's easy. But sometimes it's, I want to be a musician instead of a doctor. And that becomes much more difficult. Because you're concerned about their financial well-being, you're concerned about their ability to provide for their children, and it sometimes seems like they're not concerned about those things. So parents call their children foolish or naive or that they don't understand, but children are very worried about money. All of the children are worried, well, I shouldn't say all of them, the vast majority of them are very worried about money. So there's more to be talked about with your children about these kinds of decisions. And the last thing I want to suggest, it's actually a question. When you pray for your children at night or in the morning, whenever you pray, what do you pray? I want to suggest that when you pray, that you need to begin to open yourself to whatever God has for them. God doesn't only have for every Chinese American child engineering, business, medicine, and law. He may have something else. And if when I wanted to become a minister, my mom, I think her biggest question inside was, why my kid? Why not somebody else's kid become a minister? Right? Because I'm a smart guy. My mom used to think I was a smart guy. And so, you know, I would be a successful doctor one day, and she'd be able to move in with me, and I would take care of her. Now we make a minister's salary. It's very small, but I still think, because I've worked very hard to prove to my mom and to my dad that even though I made this choice that they disagree with very much, that I still love them very much. And I think my mom, I think, would want to move in with me before my sister and my brother. And I thank God for that, because I've worked very hard to demonstrate to them that even though I disappointed them very much, I still love them very much. So I want them to move in with me. If they want to, it's fine. It really is. But when you pray for your children, are you open to whatever God has? Do you want them to become more like Jesus before you want them to get an A? We all want our kids to get A's. And if I told my mom, you know, I realized now, I didn't realize then, but I realize now that when you pushed me to get an A, it's because you loved me. Students need to learn that. They don't always know that right away. They may think, oh yeah, in the back of my head, I know in my brain that my parents love me, but I don't feel it. Well, now I feel it, even though I didn't feel it then. I know exactly what they were trying to do. And that was, but the hard part is it took so long. It took so long when they could have explained it to me. They could have explained it to me sooner. But thanks be to God, I know it now. So my message today, I'll conclude now. My message today to you parents is not do a better job. That's not my message. My message is that Jesus Christ made one church when he died on the cross. He fills the church with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unites the church. And even though there are painful breaks in the body of Christ, painful breaks between wives and husbands, painful breaks between children and parents, we pray together and we work together so that the kingdom of God will come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the message of Ephesians. This is the message of the gospel. That he wants your children to get A's, but he wants so much more for the two of you, parents and children, to love each other in a way that they understand and you understand that you were loved. This is the much more difficult thing. And so this is what we need to pray for. So let me pray and then I'll take questions and answers, okay? Heavenly Father, this is just the beginning of a conversation about how to care for children. So many times what parents think and what children think are so different. And because it's so different, it makes it seem like the body of Christ is broken. But we know that the true body of Christ, the church, is united by your Holy Spirit, and so it is united. Help us, God, to see it that way, and to make it more that way, to pray that way, and to work together that way. In all of these difficult issues that we've been discussing so far, I pray a blessing on these parents to connect with their kids in new ways. I pray for the kids to be obedient and to honor their parents. I pray ultimately, Lord, that all of us would submit to Jesus Christ, the head of the church, out of fear and reverence and respect, because that is what we're created to do. And as we do that, it begins to show in the way that we live our life, so that when college students get to college, they know how to live for you in all of their life, not just on Friday night at CCF, not just at church, but every day they live their lives. We want that for our children, and so we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me open it up for questions. You can ask questions about anything that I've said or things that I haven't said. I welcome all of them. I'll try my best, but I'm not an expert, so I'll try my best. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a very good question. That happens to many, many Chinese students. Some of them never go to church again. The reason is because when they were here, they didn't really learn that the Christian faith was their faith. They think it's your faith. And so, like I've suggested, the education needs to begin very, very early. And it's never too late to begin. Even if your child has gone to college and they're not going to church, it's not too late to begin talking with them. So the question you need to ask is, why? Why do you go? Or why do we go? Or why don't you go? So if your child is in college and they don't go, you have to say, why don't you go? And you don't have to... If you say, you should go, the chances are they will not go. Because they just want to do the opposite. It's rebellion. It's the sin in their heart that they want to rebel. But if your child is still with you in the home, you have many opportunities to teach them, why do we go? And this faith is not just the family faith, but this faith is your faith. Jesus knows you. And so I think most college students think, Christian religion is my mom's religion, but it's not mine. So they obey you out of respect while they're in your home, but when they leave your home, they don't feel the need to do that anymore. And they may not tell you at first, but that's what happens to many, many students. So I would say, while they're still with you, talk with them a lot. Why do we go? This faith has to be yours. Sometimes you need to do evangelism with your children, you know, to teach them that Jesus Christ died for you, these kinds of things. You have to start like they're in kindergarten again when they have these kinds of questions. Does that sort of answer the question?